What the fuck was that? To the other A word, where every week Angie and Ashley run the news through an atheist and feminist filter and then drop a load of F-bombs on whatever comes out the other side. I'm Angie.
And I'm Miss Ashley.
And if your ears are sensitive to profanity, it's time to turn back now. This week on the other A word, we talk about the Sentinelese people who just aren't that into Christian missionaries, female genital mutilators getting off scot-free, folks who are so pro-life they'll kill women to prove it, and more. Hey, Ms. Ashley, are we ready to get all profane up in here?
Yeah, because I got lots of questions, because you just threw out a whole bunch of words. I'm like, I don't even know what that is. So this is going to be interesting.
All right, so do we need to start with definitions, or should we dive right in?
Well, I dive right in, and then I'll go, yeah, okay, define. I already know that in that first one, the Sentinelese.
Sentinelese. They live on an island called North Sentinel Island, so they are called the Sentinelese people.
So where the hell is that island?
It is near India. And that is going to come up as part of the story. So
okay.
We'll get into that here in just a bit.
Cool. So real quick question before we just kind of dive into it. You know, I personally haven't had a chance to actually go and listen to last week's show, but I have heard, you know, Bobby said great things. Jerry had jokes. lots.
Of course he did.
Of jokes. The fact that that man typed out all those jokes in a text message, and we haven't heard from Jerry in months, except for little, hey, how you doing? Bye. That's all.
Uh-huh.
But because.
And then he took the time to copy and paste them over to Facebook.
Yes. Yes. So it's like, thanks, Jerry. We still feel the love, and we know that you miss us, but I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. We just could no longer go on doing the show with you.
That's why I can't talk tonight. Why Hope After Faith ended. It's because we decided we didn't want to do it anymore. And nobody wants to listen to just the boys.
That is true. So, and I also got to say that, you know, the old, engineering man who was all about sound quality and all that on, you know, NRR and Hope After Faith and Dark and all the above. He mm-hmm. was like, he said, y'all actually sounded pretty good. He listened to what we had to say, but he was mostly listening for all the technical stuff.
I figured he would be, and that's high praise coming from him. So I figure I must have done a good job.
There you go. So we had to throw that out there because it was our first show.
Yeah.
You know, so I had to throw it out there and tell y'all the feedback that I got from Mr. Bobby C. and Jerry, the jokester, DeWitt.
Dad jokester.
Yeah. All he was saying was how proud he was of of us. That's all.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I just wanted to let you know that.
Awesome. That is good to hear. And I wanted to put in a little note here for those who are wondering. I screwed up submitting the show to iTunes somehow. So it is back under review. Hopefully we will be on iTunes by next week, I would hope. I mean, this is Tuesday. It usually takes them a few days, maybe by the end of this week, but we are on Stitcher. And I think we should be on just about any podcast place if you can grab our feed, which I will post to Facebook so you can plug that into your podcast listening tool of choice.
Yeah, what you said.
Yeah. I'm also working on overhauling the website. We do have the otheraword.com. It started out as a blog, so there you'll find some miscellaneous stuff there. I need to redo the graphics, but if you want to listen to the show on our website, you can do that. There is an embedded player, so you can do that. And we will be working on a Facebook group in the near future. So that's all of the housekeeping notes for everyone.
Again, what she said.
So, Ms. Ashley, how was your Thanksgiving? Did you have to deal with any religious asshattery, or was it fairly quiet?
Well, surprisingly, I don't know if it was just fairly quiet or if we just avoided the conversation of religion. I think the word goddamn came up at one point or another, and it liked to have freaked Bobby's dad out, but
oh boy.
You know, it was so funny because I don't want to be disrespectful to anybody, but on the same hand, I have raised my kids to speak freely.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And now let me back up. So I allow them to speak freely if they are of the age of maturity to do so, not to be a certain age, but a level of maturity, because they know that when to do it and when not to do it. Right.
Right. And they understand how the words are to be used.
Exactly.
Because there's nothing worse than using profanity wrong.
Right. Exactly. But I think that was the only thing. And I'll tell that story in just a second because it's really short, sweet, and to the point. But that was really the only thing that came up. But on the same hand, so we were all sitting around playing. It was me, Bobby, Bobby's mom, dad, and Christian. He was, y'all keep in mind, 18 years old now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he had already been speaking freely in front of me since he was like 16, something like that. Cause I'm like, dude, if you're going to do it in front of me. So that way, if at least I know, you know, if he doesn't do it in front of me, then I'll never know if he's using it correctly or being disrespectful. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's my job as a parent to make sure he understands the difference. So, well, we're sitting here and something happened with one of the cards. Like somebody drew a card or he laid the card down that somebody else, it was something. And he did a facepalm, went, oh, goddamn, like that. It was just, you know, in conversation. It wasn't being disrespectful or anything like that. Well, Bobby's dad like reared up and was like, oh, you ain't gonna say that. Da, da, da. And I'm like, what? So now me being kind of a smart ass, and who saw no wrong in what he did, it was, you know, kind of like I used motherfucker a couple of times after that and goddamn a couple of times just in conversation. I didn't just automatically do it, right? Because I was like, I wish a motherfucker would tell me in my own house. Because I told Christian that if there's anything that I say that I've ever tell you not to say, then you need to ask me why I'm telling you not to say it.
Yeah.
Or I'll explain or whatever. But Christian's pretty mature. And I mean, Christian's moved into like almost a father role for his younger brother.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, Christian, I hate to say it, but Christian's earned that right. He's matured. So, but his dad didn't flip out because his dad thought it was disrespectful to anybody sitting at the table. He thought it was disrespectful to God.
Right.
So
how dare the boy take the Lord's name in vain?
I know Krishna's sitting there thinking, what? You know, all this. Okay, first off, we don't even know if the fuckers exist or not. So what's the big difference? So I just, you know, like whatever, you know. I've always told Christian that if I give you that eye, you need to let me. You just need to stop and let me handle it.
Yep.
Christian's like, why in the hell you got to say motherfucker and goddamn and I couldn't? I said, because it was my house. Now, I understand those are his rules at his house.
Right.
And it's okay. Now, if Christian would have said that in their house, I would have had to explain, Christian, that was not the time or the place.
Right.
You know, but if Christian's in basically what's his own home.
Yep.
I mean, and it is, Christian lives here half the time. Brinston lives here half the time. You know, it's just, they have two houses. So they didn't, I mean, they do see it as mom's house because mom pays the rent, but he sees it as his home.
Where he, well, and even if it's mom's house, mom's rule is that I can say this particular thing in mom's house.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. So it's like, dude, take your goddamn and shove it up your ass. And, you know, and I know Bobby thought the same thing, but that's Bobby's dad, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, and it's sad that we have those different types of situations, because it's like, because it's Bobby's dad, then I shouldn't have said anything, you know, but on the same hand, it's still my house. My child.
Don't talk to my child in my motherfucking house.
Right. In my goddamn motherfucking house.
Well, I had a couple of moments, not really a lot of religious nuttery, but we did have the obligatory prayer before dinner, and I didn't even pretend to be praying along, and I just looked at Facebook during the whole thing. That's not even the most hilarious one. There was one year I was reading, I was in the middle of The God Delusion, and it was on Kindle. So I opened that up and was reading it while they were praying. So yeah, that's Angie being a bitch. And, but the major thing that I had to get up and leave the room for was one of my racist step uncles had asked my other step uncle about the Native Americans in South Dakota, because step uncle number two lives out there. Mm-hmm. And one of the dude's opening questions was, do any of them have jobs out there? And that was about the point I had to get up and leave the room and not listen to the conversation, because I would have gotten myself banned from my aunt's house.
I couldn't, yeah. I would have had to get up and walk away too. It was just like what I was saying. There's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah. Well, this uncle has never been shy about dropping the N-word all over the place. So at all a surprising conversation.
Right.
So
my dad does that bad. And I'm like, I keep thinking that I'm going to have somebody in my house one day, and my daddy's going to do that, and it's going to be like, oh my God, you know? And I always have to go, daddy, you have got to stop, you know? Well, and I'm like, daddy, I understand. Back in the day, that's what the words my daddy used. That's that generation. But it don't mean I can't correct his ass now.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, daddy, use that word anymore. First off, it should have never been used in the first place.
No shit.
You know? But just, you know, yeah. So I feel you. I feel you.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to solve racism here on this show. So maybe we should just move on to the bullshit in the news.
Real quick question, though. I did hear something before I fell asleep, and I remembered I was going to ask you this question. So mm-hmm. on my way to work this morning when I fell asleep listening to Rachel Maddow, I think whoever was – it wasn't Rachel. It was somebody filling in for her. But they were talking about something and something, I think, political or something's going on in Lower Iowa. I'll have to go back and listen. But my first thought was, is Iowa big enough to be split into a Lower Iowa? That's why I don't remember what it was really about, because all I remember thinking is Lower Iowa.
Not really. So it's news to me that anyone's even calling it that.
I'll have to go back. It's whoever did the show last Wednesday night.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know the context or what exactly the story is, so I have a hard time commenting on it.
Like I said, I think the biggest thing for me was not really what the news story was about. It was more or less long line going, we don't even really remember that Iowa exists until somebody says the word Iowa,
right?
You're calling a Lower Iowa.
Well, the worst problem is that nobody knows Iowa exists until Steve fucking King, who is in my district, opens his fat fucking racist mouth. But that's another conversation too.
Is there where the guy who's the attorney, acting attorney general, that really probably shouldn't be there? What's his name?
Are you talking about in Iowa?
No, in the Trump put his ass there.
Oh, shit. Let me look him up quick. Matthew Whitaker.
Yeah. Is he from Iowa or something?
I don't think so. I honestly don't know that much about him other than the shit that he said about Trump supposedly being above the law.
Oh, yeah, I did hear him say that. Maybe it's this whole Steve King for change faces a battle for House Senate seat in Iowa.
Yeah, but wow. He lost. Or, I mean, he won. Steve mm-hmm. King won. Because I live in probably the most conservative corner of Iowa, and that's saying something. Because Iowa, as in general, is rural and conservative. So,
sometimes on a corner. So we have a corner part of Iowa and a lower Iowa. You know what? Maybe we need to start checking out Iowa.
You don't want to do that. It's all cow shit and corn up here.
Oh, so the mad cow disease is coming from Iowa.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus.
All right. Moving on. So, on to bullshit in the news. First up tonight is the story I have been dying to talk about since I heard about it, which is the American missionary John Chow, who was killed by the residents of North Sentinel Island, which is sort of part of India, in that I believe India has kind of ownership of it, but the Sentinelese people are extremely isolationist. So you can't really say that they are a part of India in as much as Indian culture or Indian government or any of that. But it's like they're a protectorate of India.
You're kind of like we are to Puerto Rico.
Right. Something similar anyway. Other people have covered this story and probably covered it better. So I actually just kind of want to focus on the reaction of a certain subset of Christians, which I'm sure we can all picture just when I say a certain subset of Christians. In this case, it is a group called International Christian Concern, which, again, I'm sure you can tell by the name, is a totally rational and fair-minded group.
Oh, sounds like it.
Mm-hmm. ICC,
I'm check them out.
Yeah, you do that. I'm sure you will learn some wonderful things. ICC is essentially howling for the heads of the Sentinelese people who were involved in the killing, screaming about it being murder. Few things. Never mind the fact that this dude's act, just his presence on the island, could have wiped out the entire population with one misplaced microbe. Never mind the fact that it is illegal to even approach North Sentinel Island for the protection of the residents as well as outsiders, a fact of which Mr. Chow was well aware and that he bribed local fishermen to ignore so they would take him out there. And never mind that he essentially received a warning shot in the form of an arrow, and I love this part, fired through his Bible. I don't know if that's what they were aiming for, but that's what they hit.
Hey.
And apparently he retreated for a little while, and then he went back to the island anyway. So never mind all of that, ICC is comparing his death to the overall persecution of Christians in India. I have a quote from a website called persecution.org, which is the quote-unquote news website owned by ICC. Quote, across India, reports of persecution continue to escalate in both number and severity. Much of this escalation in persecution followed the rise of the current Bharatiya Janata Party. That party's led government in May of 2014. And I think I need a cookie for even pronouncing that name.
Yeah, because I wouldn't have.
Yeah, so a couple of points on that. The Sentinelese people have, as I have already stated, absolutely zero to do with India's government or the BJP, that party that's in charge of the government right now. They are adamantly isolationist. They have made it clear for decades that they want to be left the fuck alone. And killing an intruder who was trespassing illegally and was warned not to go there is not fucking persecution. It's self-defense. One particularly idiotic statement was made by ICC's regional manager, and I have to say assistant to the William Stark, who said, "We here at International Christian Concern are extremely concerned by the reports of an American missionary being murdered in India's Andaman and Nicobar Islands." That this is the island group that North Sentinel Island is a part of. Mm-hmm. "Our thoughts and prayers go out to both John's family and friends. Every day, new reports of persecution are being documented in India. Many Christians fear this may be the new normal for their community, as Hindu radicals and others have been allowed to attack Christians and other minority communities with impunity. India must take steps to counter the growing wave of intolerance and violence."
I have a feeling that it just wasn't just this man who apparently... Do you think they got a note to the island going, "Hey, there's a Christian man wanting to come, you know, preach to y'all and missionize to y'all," or whatever it is they do?
Oh, because no, there is no conversation between the island and outsiders, period.
Right.
Anybody that approaches the island gets attacked. And right. There's good reason for that. There was one particular asshole that I was reading about the other day on a Twitter thread that I can't remember if it was, I think it was the early 1900s. He went there and was basically using island people as research subjects. And it was disgusting. And anyway, he kidnapped some of the people from the Sentinelese island. And so they have good reason to distrust outsiders and not want them to come in. And regarding this idiot's statement that I just read, these islanders are not Hindu. They are tribal people. They have their own, I don't even know if they have a religion. If they do, it's not Hindu. It's, you know, it's their own thing. They have nothing the fuck to do with Indian culture or any kind of persecution of Christians. To insinuate that they do is to be willfully ignorant at best and downright fucking stupid at worst.
Yeah. I mean, that just...
It's
You've got this group that's trying to protect their land.
Right.
That they have their own. They're not a part of anything. Yeah, you know, they might... You know, whatchamadoodle, what did you, not Iran. What the hell name?
India.
India. I knew it was one of the I words.
Okay.
Iran, India, you know.
Yeah, they're all the same thing, right?
Iraq, you know.
Anyway.
You get my point.
But, yes.
So what if they... You know, okay, do they, like, so what if they own the property? You know, it's not like they can just, you know, go in there and go, y'all have, well, I mean, I guess they could go in there and, you know, take over the island and, you know, make it their, you know, religion and everything. But, you know, I'd like to know if this same group happened to put up a fight for the journalist that was kidnapped and then found, what, beheaded in, what was it, Saudi Arabia?
I'm sure that they did not.
Right.
If he wasn't Christian, they don't give two shits.
Well, and I don't know if the man was Christian or not.
And you want to talk about persecution? I consider a Christian missionary totally disregarding the safety of an entire group of people.
Right.
And insisting on going there to push his religion on them. I think that is persecution rather than the people just defending themselves against that.
Right.
I don't even know how you put that together in your mind and consider him to be the persecuted one.
Right. And, you know, I've met a couple of people that are the Mormon faith. I didn't realize that I think they have to go on missionary for like 2 years somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then they can come back and go to college or whatever. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. You just graduated from high school, son. We're going to send you out with the only thing that you have the knowledge of, which is religion, to this country that you know nothing about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's fucked up.
Yeah. Missionaries in general, I don't see the point. Mm-hmm. I know what they think the point is, but anyway.
To help switch everybody over to Christianity.
Exactly. Oh, everyone should be Christian because our book says so.
Of course.
It's just so tiring.
It is tiring because you're like, we live in 2018. You know, it's, when you go back and you look at go back and watch the Back to the Future movies where they're talking about the year 2018 and you're like,
where the fuck are our flying cars and our hoverboards?
No shit. I want to know when my car is going to fucking fly. Beat me up, Scotty.
Yeah. Instead, 2018 is the new dark ages.
Yeah. We're out here and, you know, we're beheading people here and women are getting treated poorly here. And let me tell you something. It's just not in other countries. It's happening here in the United States.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, you know, we're about to talk about the next one, so yeah.
Did you like that little segue there?
Yeah, that was great. So, moving on from Ashley's perfect segue, charges have been dropped in the first federal genital mutilation case in the United States. A Detroit judge ruled that the federal ban on female genital mutilation is unconstitutional and dropped almost all of the charges against Dr. Jumana Nagarwala. I think I pronounced her name correctly. In case you're wondering, people, I have a problem with pronouncing things the right way.
Andy, don't feel bad. I know you heard me on NRR. Name's worth a shit. Remember, I get confused between India and Iran. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But we won't talk about that again.
All right.
So, anyway, most of the charges have been dropped against this woman. So, I guess if your religion says it's acceptable, you have total impunity to perform a horrific, painful, and 100% unnecessary procedure on little girls. FGM, we should probably note, is outlawed in 44 countries and is considered by the World Health Organization to be a human rights violation because, of course, it is. But
so for
I'm slightly pissed off. Can you tell?
Just a tad bit. So for certain religions, we can mutilate little girls, right?
Apparently.
And for other certain religions, we don't have to give vaccines because, well, you know, vaccines are bad. It just makes no fucking sense. And how, oh my God, and it's a woman that did this to these girls? Sorry, I didn't mean to change stuff like that.
No, that's fine. Yes, this was a female doctor, but remember, she was raised to believe that this is what girls are supposed to go through. So this is what they do.
God damn, this is a, oh my God. No, that is, no.
And one thing, one note that I want to point out here, because if this goes beyond our small listenership that we have now, I know that our listening family understands this point, but a lot of the wider world seems to think that they are equivalent. I also do not believe in circumcision. I don't believe in genital mutilation of any kind. So I don't want to hear a single person pop up with, but what about male circumcision?
You know, I was actually about to bring that up because,
yeah,
because, and I don't know, it's because I still haven't figured it out, but I'm glad I did. So Christian, and they're probably going to kill me for this. So Christian is circumcised. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I was also raised with the, that's what you do.
Right.
You know, right after you have the baby, they take him away. They do their thing. They bring him back. Right.
And it's not necessarily a religious thing. It's just, it was considered a matter of sanitary upkeep for a long time, that little boys just needed to be circumcised for sanitary purposes.
And exactly. And that's the reason why we did it.
Mm-hmm.
So then I had Brinston, and we two totally different births. I had one, Christian was done in a hospital, in the county hospital, and Brinston was done at a birthing center.
Okay.
Okay. So two different types of care, two different types of birth. Okay. The care at the one for the hospital, you went to the doctor at the hospital, you saw him once a month. As you got closer, you started seeing him more. Bam, you have a baby. They're doing all these wham bam, and they got you out of there, right? So with Brinston, it was more of a zen type thing.
Yeah.
You concentrated on your breathing, you know, yeah, concentrated on, it was like very zenful. Okay. You go and you're ready to have the baby. You call them. You're like, hey, I'm ready. They're like, all right, we'll get here when you can. No big deal. You know, and I'm like, what? So I make up a bed, take a shower, drop a kid off, go and, for lack of better words, drop off another kid. But it was, you know, I got to sit on a ball. If I wanted to have the birth in the tub, I could, you know. And then after you have them, they're like, look, if you can get up and take a shower, you can go home. By 5 o'clock, I was home. Mm-hmm. But it was very different. It was more of a, you know, intimate type of thing with my second one. And I'm like, okay, well, when's, I'm still in the mindset that, you know, he needs to be circumcised, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, so when do y'all take him to get him circumcised? And they're like, oh, and when he comes back in about 6 weeks, we'll set it up. I'm like, wait, what? In about 6 weeks, this baby is going to already develop into something. And, you know, he's interacting with me and he's going to, you know, he's not going to understand pain, but he sure as hell is going to feel it.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm like, no. So my youngest is not circumcised, because I got to thinking about him. What is he gonna go through? And I'm like, dude, if he wants to do that when he gets older, he can.
Right.
Let it be his decision.
Yep.
You know, I feel bad enough because Christian's like, you know, he understands why I did it, but he knows me now. So he's like, Mom, you didn't let me have my own decision. What? Little shit.
Yeah.
So I get it, Angie. I get it. You know, yes, there are, you know, I don't think that, you know, it should be, because there are a lot of people out there that present circumcision to newborn mothers as it has to be done or else.
Right. This is just something we do as part of the birthing process.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just wanted to bring that part up as a way to head off some of the comments that I know come up all the time when we talk about female genital mutilation is, what about male circumcision? So
yeah, I know, I get it. And, you know, back to the story, you know, we're still in the United States and there, you know, those, no, just no.
Yeah. Here's another important thing too, is Male circumcision is generally done, like you said, as a newborn or as a very young baby. Obviously, there's pain, but the kid forgets about it by the time they are an adult.
Hell, they forget about it the next day.
Female genital mutilation is generally done when the girls are around, I believe, 8 to 10 years old. Mm-hmm. We are also talking about, in some cases, removing the entire clitoris. There are various different, levels of FGM, but yeah, that is the most extreme. They remove the entire clitoris.
That's like the whole Handmaid's Tale shit.
It's disgusting. But, I do want to read some of the comments by the judge, because though it completely pains me to say it, he does make obviously a valid legal point, since, you know, he is the legal expert, but he said, quote, "As laudable as the prohibition of a particular type of abuse of girls may be, it does not logically further the goal of protecting children on a non-discriminatory basis," which is the part that I don't really agree with. Later noting that the Supreme Court has said that individual states, not the federal government, have the authority to police local criminal activity. He also noted that although Congress may regulate a practice if it is, quote, commercial or economic in nature and that substantially affects interstate commerce, end quote, as despicable as female genital mutilation may be, it is essentially a criminal assault and not a commercial or economic enterprise, which is his justification for saying it is not constitutional for it to be a federal ban rather than a state level ban. So the moral of the story is, if you don't believe in female genital mutilation, start pushing your state level leaders hard to get it fucking banned.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah.
And I will also say the government, the federal government, is considering appealing, but I don't know if they are actually going to do that or not. It's still kind of up in the air from the sound of it.
You're going to have to keep me posted on that.
I'll be keeping an eye out for that one.
What state is this in?
She was in, I believe, Michigan. Yes, I was correct.
Wow. To think that that's happening here, you know?
I know.
Where you're supposed to be free of pain, or at least, you know, somebody inflicting pain on you.
Right.
You know, it's just, well, you should be, you know, you should be able to be living free of pain, period, whoever you are.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't have that, at least not yet.
We'll get there eventually.
And on that cheery note, moving on to abortion.
Damn, Angie. So what state am I not allowed to be in if I want to make a decision about my own body now?
Last week we talked about a couple of the worst bills that got passed.
Right.
But I don't think that we mentioned the one still being considered in Ohio, which is their House Bill 565, which would extend the definition of a person to include an quote unquote unborn human. That means a fetus would be considered a person from conception. And anyone who performs or has an abortion is open to prosecution for murder. It also should be noted that Ohio has the death penalty. So we are talking about possible death penalty cases for abortion.
Wow.
I have a few things to say. I'm sure you can imagine.
So they're basically now saying that in Ohio, if you're pregnant, it becomes an extension of your body.
They're saying that you have a whole separate person that you just happen to be incubating. one article I saw even brought up the possibility that a fetus may end up having a legal guardian in court cases.
What? You're shitting me.
Well, and this is all hypothetical because it hasn't actually come to pass yet. None of these cases have gone to a trial or anything like that. But if there was a case where a woman tried to seek an abortion and she got arrested for it and went to court, it's possible that because the fetus is considered a separate person from the mother and it is a minor, since it's obviously not even born yet, it may be appointed a legal guardian separate from the mother.
Cool. That means the government's going to pay for my pregnancy the whole time, right?
Nope. Absolutely not. The bill that Ohio is considering also, of course, has no exceptions for rape or incest or for pregnancies that threaten the life of the mother because fuck that bitch, right?
My God.
I am so fucking over these goddamn abortion bills. Anyway, one big question that I have about this one is, how the fuck are they going to be able to determine a purposely terminated pregnancy from a miscarriage? And how will they handle the cases where a woman is in the process of miscarriage, but has to have medication to complete the process? Is she going to be accused of murder or abortion under this law, even though her fetus is non-viable, is already in the process of being rejected by her body, and the medications are just helping that along? That the bill doesn't address how that is going to be handled.
I wonder how the HIPAA law is going to be handled with that.
Because, I have no idea. I don't know how they're going to enforce this kind of a law, but
yeah,
you know, it's the GOP. So as long as it's anti-woman, we're happy with it.
Well, that's true. I mean, I know that's how they think, but still, I mean, even that I'm just confused. I mean, I thought we had smarter people out there, you know, but apparently the GOP is a bunch of dumbasses.
Yeah, I'm surprised you had to be reminded of that, Ms. Ashley.
I know. It happens. I'm sorry. It happens. I like to think that we live in this great country called the United States of America. But, you know, I'm constantly reminded every day how we're becoming more and more and more like these other countries that, you know, the women are shit.
Yeah. So the final point that I really wanted to make about this is this kind of a bill proves that a lot of pro-lifers are only pro-fetus lives. Mm-hmm. They will happily subject women to the threat of death penalty. And the irony is lost on them that they call themselves pro-life while supporting the death penalty in the first place.
Dumbasses.
Yeah. Well, hypocrites. I mean,
yeah, I was about to say their own law clearly states and shows that they're a bunch of hypocrites.
Yeah.
Because it's like, we're pro-life, but we're going to kill you if you execute a life. It just makes no sense.
We are so pro-life, we'll murder the fuck out of you to
prove
it.
There you go. You took the word right out of my mouth.
I put the words you meant into your mouth.
That too.
That sounds a lot dirtier than I intended it to sound. So moving on.
Well, Angie, after two episodes, does this make the second date?
I think so. One more and we get to fuck, right?
Right. Exactly.
Bobby can't watch or he has to pay $100.
Oh shit. He gets paid that day too. He probably worked something out.
All right. I have just a brief thing about, and this is another one that I almost can't word right because I'm so pissed off. One of the ICE detention centers says that it is not responsible for its staff's sexual abuse of detainees.
Wait, why not?
Oh, my God. I'm just going to read this section from the ACLU. This article says, all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and the federal government impose criminal liability on correctional facility staff who have sexual contact with people in their custody. These laws recognize that any sexual activity between detainees and detention facility staff, with or without the use of force, is unlawful because of the inherent power imbalance when people are in custody. Yet one immigration detention center is trying to avoid responsibility for sexual violence within its walls by arguing that the detainee consented to sexual abuse. This woman was an asylum seeker and a domestic violence survivor from Honduras, and she was sexually assaulted by an employee while she was detained with her three-year-old child at the Burks Family Residential Center in Pennsylvania. At the time of the assault, she was 19 years old. She filed suit against the detention center and its staff for their failure to protect her from sexual violence, even though they were aware of the risk. The record in the case shows that her assailant coerced and threatened her, including with possible deportation, while the defendants stood by and made jokes. Although the employee pled guilty to criminal institutional sexual assault under Pennsylvania law, the defendants contend that they should not be liable for any constitutional violations. Their argument rests in part on their assessment that the sexual abuse was consensual and that they should be held to a different standard because the Burks Family Residential Center is an immigration detention facility rather than a jail or prison.
Oh, you have got to be shitting me.
I am absolutely not. These are the arguments these stupid motherfuckers made.
Are they being paid by the government to do what they do?
Mm-hmm.
So they get a federal check to do what they do, which means it was a detention center that was there to protect and to keep safe and, you know, to handle things until, you know, either, you know, they could not either decide to deport or not deport or whatever. But point being, it was supposed to be a safe haven.
I think you're misunderstanding immigration law, Ms. Ashley, because we don't provide safe haven anymore. We provide warehousing until we can ship them the fuck out of here.
Well, yeah, you're right. You're right. Because we suck.
But yes, on a more serious note, yes, it is supposed to be, you know, a detention facility is not supposed to be where the staff rapes
right
detainees.
It's like here, we're here to either decide if you're supposed to be here or if you're not. But in the meantime, we're still going to treat you with basic human rights.
Yeah.
Like, don't fucking rape me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And reading between the lines of this, the whole thing where they keep saying that she consented to it. Obviously, the guy threatened her with deportation, so she went along.
Well, obviously.
So that is where they are getting the consent bullshit. So yeah. Anyway.
We're gonna, if you don't do this and if you don't do that, we're just gonna send you back and we can do that, you know? These people actually think they have no rights. So they're gonna believe whatever they're told and they're gonna do whatever they have to do to stay safe.
Oh, yeah. And remember, this woman's a domestic violence survivor. Mm-hmm. So if she gets deported, who is going to come and get her? The man she was trying to get away from in the first place. If she gets deported, she's probably a dead woman.
Right.
So, yeah, that is...
How about not put the person in position to even, you know, be able to, you know, say, oh, yes, I'll have sex. How about not even put a person in that position?
Well, how about not having an environment in a detention center where other employees are standing around observing, making what? Jokes. It just, the whole thing is absolutely disgusting and beyond absolutely beyond anything that should be allowed. There aren't enough cuss words, Ashley.
I know. It's like we already said them all, and it's like, fuck, 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 fuck.
Yeah.
You know, and to think that it's going on right here.
You know, yeah, we have become the third world country that we've always looked down on. And I know that that is hyperbole. That is right. That is an exaggeration of the actual situation. I understand that. But we are making steps that direction. Every little piece where we are calling anyone that wasn't born in the United States illegal, or we're talking about brown people and how they don't matter as much as everybody else. Right. Or we're talking about how police officers are always in the right to shoot a black man. Everything we are doing in the past 2 years is sliding us a little bit farther toward becoming one of those countries.
Right. And one way that for, you know, us people who don't want to put up with this shit anymore, who want to do something about this shit, one way that you can do it is you can get out at every election and vote.
Yeah. Get your ass to the polls. And if you don't have a legitimate excuse not to, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, you don't. There's all sorts of ways to do it now. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, just no matter how little the law that they're trying to pass might seem to you, if there's one inkling of that law that you do not agree with it, go out there and vote.
Yeah. And I think that is a perfect note to end on for the night.
Cool.
Get your ass out and vote, people. Yeah. So, once again, if you want to keep in touch with us or keep up with us, you can go to theotheraword.com, or you can go to facebook.com/otheraword podcast, all one word. Those are the two big places right now. I will create a closed group for our listeners at some point. If anybody wants that sooner rather than later, I can do that. I know, Ms. Ashley, you need to have a private group in order to really interact. Right. So we will get that taken care of as soon as possible. And yeah, other than that, I think that's it. We have done it.
Sounds good to me. I enjoyed it. And well, I enjoyed it because I was able to like let some steam off. The stories. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that it's hard to say we enjoyed talking about these things, but
we shouldn't have to talk about those things.
No, we shouldn't have to, but that's why this whole show is here.
That's right.
So, all right. As always, we love chatting with you folks, our wonderful listeners, and we hope you will join us again for episode 3 coming up next week. Until then, I'm Angie.
And I'm Miss Ashley.
And goodbye until next time.